CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central. You're with myself and Ntombi Ntlapho.
And my fabulous self, Carly.
Look at you, girl. Look at you, girl.
I'm in it.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. The show is proudly brought to you by The Wedding Expo and the South African Wedding Inspirations magazine. Please don't forget to be involved in the conversation. You can hashtag us on all of the social media networks. We do look up. We do reply to you guys' comments. It's hashtag Wedding Central.
So, and today we're talking everything DIY when it comes to planning your wedding. So, I mean, I know we've got wedding expos coming up in Durban and Cape Town, and we have a lot of brides coming through that are DIY brides. And I think today that's why we have our guests in studio, Simon and Seho, who are wedding planners and are here to share some tips if you are not wanting to have a wedding planner and you are wanting to DIY your wedding.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know what, the truth of the matter is, and I'll just get into the guest Nana. The truth of the matter is that sometimes it's actually not a luxury. It's not about actually wanting a wedding planner. Sometimes the truth of the matter is I actually can't afford one. As much as I'd love to have a full-time wedding planner, I might not be able to afford one. So I would like to maybe get them to take over on the day. So we wanted to approach it from the aspect of if I want to get somebody on the day, we would like to help you guys, give you guys some tips on what you think, what we think you should have done by the time you want to hand over your wedding to be managed on the day. Seho from Meletlo Celebrations, won't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Seho. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, girl.
Yes, me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, just for those that aren't aware.
I'm a wedding-loving individual.
Mm-hmm.
All things pretty, all things beautiful. And we've been around for 6 years.
Fabulous.
We are based in Johannesburg, but we go all over South Africa to plan weddings.
Okay.
And yes, we do full planning, but we also do on-the-day coordination.
Fabulous. Simon from The Wedding Event, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Ntombi, and thanks for having me. So I run The Wedding Event. I am a product and student of the SA School of Weddings.
Whoop, whoop.
And was given an awesome privilege by Carly Collins at the time, who's now Carly de Villiers.
Yes. Everyone says, who's Carly Collins? Who's Carly de Villiers? I've got a bit of a split personality.
Yeah.
Same person who gave me an opportunity to get my business started. And so, yes, I've been planning weddings for the last 5 years.
Okay.
And talking about our current topic, I think it's very important to note that in the current climate, we as wedding planners have definitely seen that there are lots of weddings where brides, and also brides are very hands-on because they've got such awesome tools at their own disposal.
Right.
So like Pinterest is a wonderful thing, but please don't ask for peonies 12 months of the year in South Africa.
No.
Yes. But on that note, there are a lot of instruments out there. If you look at the number of blogs that are being created, if you have a look at the number of wig magazines that they have at their disposal, DIY wedding planning is definitely something that's on the up.
I have a question for you. So if you are talking to the DIY brides, what would you look at DIYing and what would you absolutely say no to DIYing that particular part of the wedding?
I'm going to interject there. Yes. So, I can see your eyes.
Yeah.
We've all got feelings.
That was actually going to be my next sort of part of my conversation was going to be that there are definitely items that brides need to be aware of in terms of what you are DIYing. When we talk about the DIY bride, we understand that you perhaps have been onto Pinterest and you want to maybe create your own bowls, or you've gone to a friend who owns a laser cutting company and they're going to do beautiful detail on your table settings or whatever the case. And we completely understand. I mean, the ideas out there and the things that you can do yourself are great. What you need to remember is that bringing a wedding together from a styling perspective, if you have an idea in your head, I always say to people, bring in a professional florist. You know, everybody, I am a wedding planner and I promise you, I cannot put flowers into a vase in my own home.
Yes.
So I would never do it for you. I will bring in a professional florist to do it for you.
And so many people, and we've got to give it, that a lot of people will bring in, they will try and do their own flowers.
Or an auntie.
Or an auntie or granny or whatever else like that. But they've also got to be there at the wedding. Mm. So, I mean, if they do flowers at home, that's all fair and well. But it's a very different story when it comes to actually doing 10, 20 tables and have they, are they prepared? Have they done their packing list? Have they checked that they've got enough candles? All of that type of thing that I would suggest I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I do that for a living, but I wouldn't suggest a bride DIYing her own flowers. If you're going to do that because you don't want to listen to us, then I would suggest you need to do a mock-up for yourself so that you understand what you need to do on the day of the wedding. And then it's not like, let's put that vase here, let's put that here. Mm. And
do we have enough candles? Have we ordered tablecloths? Mm. You know, understanding what the venue does and doesn't supply. Mm. Completely agree.
100%. So, what's your opinion?
DJs.
Agreed. Oh, that was my next one.
Exactly. You know what?
I mean, from your side.
No, 100%. I agree. Taco, sorry, do you want to elaborate?
But we all just jump into your mouth.
That's your speciality as well, so jump right in. But I honestly don't think
that's actually exactly why I actually started the Black Wedding DJ. I was finding, obviously, majority of my clientele are African clients. And I was finding a lot of the times people try to do your own DJ. For some reason, you're going to ask your brother or bra van mei or whoever to come and do the music and so on. Number one,
crackling of the speakers is my worst.
Number one, it's the quality. Mm. You know what I mean? Your quality, you don't have good equipment. You have the wrong bass bin. Yeah, 100%. Also, that person, the person is also drinking on the job, which is a major thing. Communication is really, really low. The people hardly ever have licenses for their music.
I want to touch
huge,
on
huge
that.
Thing. Yeah, huge, huge thing. Also, usually they only bring equipment for like the reception.
Mm.
And then you're saying, hi, so the PA system, and you're there, you're trying to get, and they say, what PA system for who, for where, for what?
Mm. With an attitude. Because you now understand. It's your brother's
It's a friend. Mm. And that's, you know, and I like what you were saying, Carly, before. It's very difficult when you're dealing with family and friends because those people are also excited. Those people also want to be at the wedding. Those people also want to be a part of what's happening and catch up with the guests.
And they want all the recognition as well.
Yes, 100%. But now they're caught in between delivering and attending. And it's
you touched on something that I'm very passionate about. And I'm not even a DJ. But I have a lot of clients that will possibly say that they want to run an iPod through the speakers, or they want to put a playlist together and press play.
Yeah.
That is illegal.
Yeah.
You cannot have an iPod playing through your it's basically anybody who plays the music has to have a license with Samro and Sampra. That's correct. Samro and Sampra, I think it is. And they are paying royalties to play that music. And that money gets paid over to the artist. And if you do have a DJ that does not have a license and the licensing inspector comes in, that wedding music will be shut down and you as the client will also be fined for
but
that.
But I think people also take advantage of the fact that unfortunately it's not something that's policed. It's not something that's governmented.
But they're getting.
It is.
Especially Johannesburg.
100%. But in the bigger scale of things, if you look at the number of weddings that happen, the truth of the matter is, yes, I mean, look, that's my business. So I'm going to say, yes, make sure that you have somebody that's licensed. But the truth of the matter is that everyone knows that it's not managed.
But
you know
brides
what I mean?
Need to double check that with their suppliers. 100%. Because the last thing they want is that inspector to come
in your
into
head,
your
yeah.
wedding.
Yes. 100%.
What else do you think they can and cannot DIY?
Go for it, Taro.
Well, okay, they can do this. But I really suggest they leave the stationery to professional stationery before. And it's not because of my love of paper or
everything pretty.
Yes, all things pretty, but really.
Have you not had to finish off some people's stationery?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know what, I really want to do the invites myself. And a lot of people say, oh, but it's such an unnecessary cost. But I'm very passionate about it because obviously I've got the crazy lemon that does stationery and design. I always say the most important things in life are documented on paper.
Oh, love that.
Awesome.
Your birth certificate, your degrees, your marriage certificates. And now you are inviting people to one of the most important days of your life. And now you're not going to give them an actual physical invitation. And I know it does come down to cost when you're doing the e-invites.
Or timing. Sometimes you don't have the time.
But I would always recommend with an African client, I wouldn't generally recommend an e-invite because that can just be shared.
I disagree.
I disagree.
For me, I don't know. Maybe it's because I offer an RSVP management service and I believe – So I feel like everybody should look into getting somebody to manage your RSVPs.
If you don't have that, Ntombi, I would suggest that it needs to be physically addressed to that individual and it can't just be forwarded.
Oh, you think people can't make a photocopy? G-Rand 50. There you go, my friend. And in the age of WhatsApp, take a photo there and send to my friend or whatever. It's not. Yeah. I think the RSVP management, I think, helps important. Just keep yeah. things. Mm. And I always just say, even if you don't have a wedding planner, find a third party. Mm. Yes. Don't manage your RSVPs yourself.
Yeah.
That's a huge tip I always tell my clients. Get somebody else to manage so that you're not caught emotionally into, Uncle so-and-so wants to bring Auntie Banbani and Koko Banban also wants to come with so-and-so, you know, everyone.
And you feel obliged.
Yeah, so if you have a third party, you have somebody who says, no, unfortunately, you know what, they would have loved to and so-and-so aren't, but unfortunately, your invite is only accommodating you plus one, and so we have to keep it with
that. So you're saying, Teho, you would say no to stationery. I am on your side there, but there are some people who are incredibly talented in terms of crafts and things like that. If you can do it properly, that's then go right ahead.
The problem is
make
it a key word.
Yeah.
And you know, I also encourage it when we're doing mock-ups for the tables. I always encourage, if I know that Brian is doing DIY stationery like menus and name cards, I want a sample of the name card in the menu, because that can, if it's not done properly or it's cut skew and there's glue marks and everything, it can change the whole look and feel to your table.
I think Teho was trying to, I think she was saying that the key thing there is that do you think you know how to do it? Yes. Or are you really talented? I mean, just because you love crafty things doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at it, right?
Yeah. I mean, even with traditional weddings, yes, it's a community affair. By traditional weddings, I'm talking about the black traditional weddings.
Yeah.
And it's one thing for your mom to say, oh, but I cook at home all the time, I'll do this. And also to get a caterer, your mom and her friends that have been peeling vegetables for each other.
Society.
That is not catering. It is not catering. Get the professionals to come in. They're not going to put mayonnaise in every single salad.
also, but they also know quality control and quantity control.
Absolutely.
My issue with the caterers, I think, Teho, you know exactly what I'm talking about, is that you want to get your aunts and so on with the societies and so on to come and cook. They don't
explain
know.
Explain to me the society thing.
Oh, okay. It's like a club.
Yes.
It's like a club.
Who usually, is a part of this club?
Your mom has got friends that they are a society. Stockville.
That's the easiest way to explain it. So they get together, they agree, they get together once every so often, whether it's once a month or whatever. They might put money together, but basically most of them, how they work
so it's
is
like
that,
a book club kind of thing.
But
it's a book club for the four of us.
Go for it.
And now your son is getting married, and because we've all been doing each other's children's weddings,
we're going to go help.
On Friday, we've been to Fruit and Veg,
and we combine resources. I'm gonna bring my gas stove, you're gonna bring
your
pots,
your tin plates.
We don't quite
understand that. That's why we leave it to you two, the professionals in your industry. But the other thing I also wanted to tap into, and I think you can always look at DIY weddings twofold. So we're currently discussing a DIY wedding where, for example, we are using friends, family members, and we're trying to do stuff ourselves. On the other side of DIY wedding planning is the bride who doesn't hire a planner but does decide to use the services of professional wedding suppliers. However, and this is when Ntombi was saying, does decide at the end of this planning that she is, and unfortunately this does normally come to the fore about 6 to 10 weeks before a wedding. There's a little bit of a meltdown process. The pressure is on. Final numbers are coming in. Suppliers are starting to make their demands.
Do what's on the day.
And that's where we feel that if you are the type of bride who really is needing it to really fall into place because you've worked hard to find the suppliers, book those suppliers, and work with those suppliers, is that you then bring a wedding planner on the day to manage that process.
100%. I always say, I feel like the term, and unfortunately it's stuck, it's what it is, but I feel like the term on the day management isn't like a fair reflection of what the service actually is. You know, on the day, you started way before
the day. And then people say,
before the wedding.
You charge for one day?
Exactly.
It's not one day.
You know, know, it's getting all the logistics, essentially your whoever you get on board, a wedding planner or whoever, it's coordinating all of your efforts and making sure that everyone delivers accordingly and you're logistically running according
and
to plan.
And that's, I think, from a coordinator's perspective on the day, they are there to make sure the suppliers are delivering what the bride has paid for.
Exactly.
And what has been signed and agreed upon in the contract. So we are there to be the bride's eyes and ears when she is sitting having her champagne and her hair and her makeup done. And
because guys, let's just, you know, I think maybe we must even clarify that fact. For brides that are planning the wedding themselves, please realize it is impossible for you to do your setup as well as be the bride.
Yes.
This, you must clarify that it's either or.
I mean, I specialize in the flowers and decor styling side of things. We are at the office at 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure we pack and get everything ready. And we've packed beforehand already, but we have to pack on the day of the wedding, the flowers and stuff, because that can't sit in the trucks overnight and whatever else. And then we have to travel to the venue, and we can only get into the venue at 8 o'clock, and we go and we go and we are finished by, it depends on the setup, and we've got a big crew that come in, but generally we finish between 11 and 12. But can you imagine a bride trying to do that?
Yeah.
She's exhausted.
Without a system. You've got
we've got a system.
Yes.
And what about breakdown? Because I think
and we're doing breakdown at
always
12, 1, always. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Who's going to take all that stuff off the tables? The venue doesn't do it.
Yeah. You're naked by then.
Yes, you're naked. You want to have those shenanigans going. The last thing you want to be doing is having your shenanigans and say, whoop, whoop, let's wait. We got to go clean that venue.
I love it.
So what else do we think, you know, so she's planning it herself and she's going to hand it over to us. What would we advise her to have in place by the time she hands over this wedding to us? What would you hope she's done? Or shall we do like a little checklist that we want them to make sure that they can do before they hand over to somebody who's managing on the
day? That's a good idea. I think a checklist is something that is so important. I think when you buy some of these bridal magazines, even when you start your planning process, it's very nice. If you have a look at the back of them, they sometimes give you a list of all the things that you need to have in place and get ready for your big day. Please understand, if you're going to hire or if you've already decided that you're going to allocate money to a wedding planner who's going to come in for on-the-day coordination, sometimes we only meet those brides 4 to 6 weeks before their wedding. Please don't keep last-minute things and say, oh, well, I'm sure the wedding planner will be able to find me a DJ, or I'm sure, or we haven't found a videographer, because it then gets very difficult to, A, try and stick within a budget, and B, try and find the reliable suppliers that we normally work with, because those suppliers get booked up 12 to 18 months in advance.
Yeah.
So our checklist is generally that obviously everything is tied up at your wedding venue. Make sure that your menu has been selected, your seating plan, your venue layout, etc., has all been done for you. Things like hair and makeup, DJs, photographers, videographers, flowers and decor, even right down to your wedding favors. Understand, if we have to import or find a supplier that needs to bring in a wedding favor, that can sometimes take 4 to 6 weeks just to order, never mind personalizing it or attaching a tag to it or whatever the case. So have a look at your bridal magazines, go onto the likes of a Pinterest and download a wedding checklist, because 90% of the time, we as a wedding planner are going to expect that 90% of those items have been confirmed and done before you hand over to us. 100%. Otherwise, we then have to say to you that, and we were having this conversation before the show, is that we now need to start charging for our time over and above, because we start scrambling to find the things that you haven't planned.
Yeah. So your opinion on things that they could possibly have done before they hand over to you?
I think Simone has covered quite a bit, actually covered most of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I add, okay, there's a lot that needs to be handed over, but things prior to, like a couple of days before the wedding, what would you expect the bride to be able to give you or deliver to you before the wedding? I know from our side, when she's done her own stationery or she's got somebody to do the stationery, have you ever had it where a bride's just literally given you a pack of name cards?
Yes, or given you a box of wooden cutout names, 180 names, and says, can you just lay these out an hour before
the wedding? For me, I always try and tell my brides, if you're going to do name tags or cards or anything like that, I need all of that at least a week before, or even a couple of days. We're not very strict like that, but I don't want them on the day, because just to sort out 200 names into tables and then where to place them,
that's actually a tip.
2 hours.
That's actually a tip. if you could please, if you are doing your own stationery, especially if it's going to come down to the name card, please pack them in tables for the sanity of everyone.
Put them in an envelope.
Yeah.
Label them.
This is table one. Exactly.
And also, it comes even down to when it comes to the floor plan. You should be writing where you want those people to sit.
To actually sit, yeah.
And do you want Tani Mary to be with her facing you or behind you? Or you're with the back to you because you can't stand her. Yes. Where do you want her sitting?
Yes.
Where the, yeah.
Here's a nice tip for you. And one of my brides did this for me. And I thought it was such a fantastic idea. So I have to give her credit for it because I've now used it. Is buy yourself a packet of paper plates and get yourself some stickers.
Yes,
and what she did was she put a table number in the center of the paper plate. And then she attached the people's names on sort of little stickers or different color cards. Post-its.
Yeah.
And
that But please and staple it to the thing because they do know that food does not bring.
And put your stickers, or if you know what your table seating plan is, write it onto the card so we know exactly where that person. She even put arrows as to whose back was facing which speaker and which side of the venue.
Oh,
and it was
organized.
Let me tell you, super organized.
Right.
Because for me to take over from a bride that is that organized is such a delight, and it's so easy for me on the day.
Yeah.
And we're a lot more responsive and a lot more willing to also help with the stuff that maybe she hasn't seen to because we now have the capacity.
Yeah. I think another big tip that I always advise my brides on, you've gone out of now, you've gotten your own supplies and so on. Please document properly exactly what it is that you're expecting from that person.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying depend on the invoice, because a lot of them just say, oh, but it's in the invoice. Mm. A lot of things aren't in the invoice.
No.
I don't know what you've actually discussed in terms of where it's going to sit, how it's going to sit. So if you could document for us exactly what is happening with this person, what did you agree on in terms of times of delivery and stuff? Because sometimes you pick up the phone, you say, hi, I'm taking over from so and so. I just wanted to make sure that this, and they say, no. This is not the case. Exactly. So if you can just document, like, blow by blow, item by item, exactly what's been discussed, then it's easier for us to take over.
And just adding to that, especially with photographers, and not to limit somebody's creativity, but I don't know if you guys have had an instance where after the wedding somebody says, I didn't get a shot with that aunt.
Have a list of who is important to you.
Who is important and
so vital.
Just as long as we know we have an agreement with the photographer that family shots are 30 minutes.
Yes.
So if your list, you've got to take
into consideration.
So what I usually say is, give me a family member from both sides of the families that knows all the aunties
to
and
collect.
Uncles. So when I say all the uncles from dad's side, next photo is you, then they're already close by.
It's almost like we have to create a, you know how you used to take photos at school? Everyone's in a line, the whole thing's set up for you already, and everyone just goes like right through the process. It just makes it easier. And also that means you get more time with your photographer to get more photos for your couple. It's just easier.
And on that note, I would suggest that you have somebody who knows the family. I can't, as the coordinator on the
day,
try and find
Auntie Betty.
Yeah, and who's this, and she's doing whatever she's doing. I don't know the family.
Yeah.
So rather get somebody who knows the family, who's there. And at the end of the day, we as coordinators are dealing with the guests and where the loo is and are the candles lit,
all of that.
So get somebody who knows your family.
Exactly.
And brief them beforehand. Sometimes
and one from each side of the family.
Yes.
You understand? Yeah. Because then also it's not a case that
it's awkward.
It's all the groom side of the family that have got the photos. And the bride side of the family is like,
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
We haven't been called yet.
100%.
Do you know what I also think is vital for me as a wedding planner? Is that you perhaps introduce me, whether it's by way of email or over an SMS, to who the MC is going to be on your wedding day. I find MC and I become really tight on the wedding day because 9 out of 10 times they're either a close family member or otherwise a really close friend that probably knows your family better. Remember, I'm your wedding planner and I'm there to make sure that your agenda runs on time because that's what you hired me to do. But I had an experience this last weekend where photographs, because of that list of family photographs, ran over by an hour. And I was able to go to the MC and just very politely say to him, we are running this much over. I have let the kitchen know, but we do need to push it a little. Or can we maybe shorten his maybe sort of set? So that's very important for me. Introduce me to your MC before your wedding.
But then that actually brings me to the next question, choosing your MC.
Oh.
How many times have you had it where your clients have chosen the wrong?
And
like, they're wrong.
They are so drunk by
wrongest.
The time they need to do the speeches.
It's
and
a mess.
That is for me. Oh.
It's a
they
mess.
They make or break your
100%,
wedding.
100%. What would you say are tips to what is a guideline to choosing the right MC for your wedding? What does this person need to absolutely have. Like for me, one thing they definitely need to have is somebody that can take charge of situation. Mm. My whole thing is that that person's my mouthpiece. Mm. I don't like, I'm very short if you don't know me. I'm super, super short. And on the day, I don't wear heels. Mm. So, you know,
can
I'm not going to,
heels
yeah, no. I'm not trying to address 200-300 people. Hi, excuse me. Please, can you move
the, and who are you in the greater scheme of things? Because no one knows
nobody
who you
knows
are.
Who I am.
And people tend to listen to people they know.
Exactly, mm. exactly. So find somebody who people are aware of, are familiar with, but somebody who can literally take charge, and when they make an announcement, people are actually going to pay
they
attention.
They command respect and they draw the crowd's attention. Yes, I think that's important. Mm. Also, someone who can keep things lighthearted. Mm. Someone who is a good speaker. I mean, that sounds so cliche, but at the end of the day, somebody who really can, who knows how to hold a microphone, who's probably been prepped
in front of people. That's the actual thing. Because a lot of people are a good speaker just because he's your chum and he's your mate, and when you guys are out for drinks, like it's nice and woo, life of the party. But then they stand in front of people, and then it's just. It's a mess. Mm. It's a mess. The
They've
got to
be natural.
Mm.
Yeah. 100%.
Another thing that I would also recommend is to make sure you've got somebody responsible managing that bar tab.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
You know what? You don't really want your dad, if the dad is paying for the drinks, and he drinks a lot, do you really want him having the say on how much the bar tab's going to be?
100%. Mm. Yeah, and we're not saying that person has to be the MC, but it's just another tip.
But
to
it's
say,
another tip.
Yeah, to say. Another thing for me, in terms of MC is, somebody who is flexible. You know, so I've once had a client who had a program and they said, no, but this is what's coming next. And you have to understand that things change on the wedding day, right? You have
to sometimes if it changes.
100%. Exactly. So you need to have somebody who's, you know, who goes with the flow, who can manage any changes, who can adapt to whatever the situation is. Also somebody who's not going to cause panic. You know, you also get those MCs that tell the crowd, oh, now the wedding planner is now telling me, oh, but brother, why?
Yeah.
Why?
I had one MC get up in front of the crowd and ask me as the wedding planner what the escape routes were in case there was a fire.
Oh my gosh, really?
Imagine.
No, really? I had a very embarrassing one, and this is a little closing is that my father is actually a Methodist minister.
Okay.
So I shudder to think what if he had heard that, what he would say. I said to the couple, let's keep to time, please. So please let your minister know that 45 minutes to an hour max, we must be out of there.
Correct. Yeah. He announces
it. I don't know what they told him, but instead the minister stood up and said, the wedding planner says we must not carry church on forever.
But I've noticed that quite often
as
in African
countries.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So we hope everyone's just taken a few tips. Please, when you are planning your wedding and you are planning to hand over, please consider exactly what it is that you're handing over so that it's easier for us to make your day a reality. Don't give us bits and bobs and hope that we're going to be these magicians at the end of the day.
And we hear every week, every Wednesday, a new podcast comes out. There's going to be lots of tips coming out of this. So make sure you download, go to iTunes, go to your Play Store, download Wedding Central, and we'll pop up every Wednesday when a new podcast comes out. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks so much, Sefo and Simone. The show is proudly brought to you by The Wedding Expo and the South African Wedding Inspirations magazine.
Ciao. CliffCentral.com.